Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In March of 2020, with the arrival of COVID, we all quickly became familiar with new phrases such as social isolation and physical distancing. But for over 7,000 people living in Ireland who are survivors of polio, the sudden isolation and worry was all too familiar as they continue to battle the disease that caused so much heartache here more than 50 years ago. And with British authorities declaring a national incident in June after traces of the virus were discovered in sewage samples across several London boroughs, polio is back as a concern. Now, Evelyn O'Rourke has met up with some of these remarkable polio and post-polio survivors to hear more about their stories and a book that they have contributed to. So Evelyn, introduce us first of all to the Polio Survivors of Ireland. This is the advocacy and support group at the heart of this work.
Yes, indeed. And they are working really hard, Claire, to maintain the independence and dignity, really, of these survivors. And you'll hear about that dignity in a minute. Amazing group of people. But they're supporting them at work, in the home and otherwise. And their objectives really are to create awareness and provide information on the needs of polio survivors and on post-polio syndrome. Again, we'll hear more about that in a minute, but just to support and advocate on behalf of them. And their overall message that they want to send out there is that they want to transform the legacy of polio, and that with polio eradicated in Ireland, they're saying, look, we need help, because as they put it, they need to finish it well by looking after ageing polio survivors.
And we're all familiar with the term, but will you remind us what polio is and how it's defined?
Indeed. Well, it's highly infectious viral disease, largely affects children. It's transmitted by person to person. It invades the nervous system. And there was, of course, I mean, I would remember the stories, you probably would too, huge fear around this disease back in the day when so many children were left with lifelong disabilities. So I started by visiting one of those people who was a child back in the day, Anna Shanahan, or Anne Shanahan. She's originally from Limerick. She had wonderful family life in Limerick, and she's been a very happy adult all along. But she was diagnosed with polio when she was very young, and she was treated until the age was of 14 in hospital settings. So here Anne Shanahan tells us a little bit more where she met me and talked to me in her home.
Good morning, Anne. I'm Evelyn. How are you?
Come in. You're welcome. Come in.
Where do you want me to go? The kitchen is perfect. You have it all organised.
Sit down.
Well, let's grab a seat. Thanks so much for letting us in today.
I'm
you
very busy.
Lead a lovely, busy, flourishing, thriving life. I don't understand why we're talking about polio with you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is polio in your life? What does it mean to you?
Well, it is who I am since childhood. Polio has been with me all my life, since I was about two or three. I don't know exactly when.
What do you know about your story? I know you were very young. Do you even know how you got it? Do you know anything about the circumstances?
There were four children in my family. I was the middle one. From my mother, I was told, from infancy, there was something about my right leg. And then when it came to walking, I wasn't making an effort. The little foot wasn't growing right either compared to the other. So my aunt, who was a nun in South Africa, and she was a nurse, she came home on holiday, and she just looked at this infant in the pram, and she said to my mother straight away, that child has polio. We lived in Limerick. There were absolutely no facilities in those days. I'm going back to the 40s. So I was sent up to the orthopaedic hospital in Clontarf. Now, from about 3 until 14, I was in Clontarf. I'd be there for 3 months, come home for 3, back and forth. Longest I was ever there was a year. So my entire life was more in hospital than at home.
Like, what happened magically at 14 then?
I had a final operation at 14 and I was sent home with the boots and the splint thing, and that was it.
Your family was in Limerick. How often did the family get to come and see you?
I seldom had visitors. Only once was my mother able to visit, and another occasion my father.
When you were 3?
Yeah.
And 4 and 5?
Yeah.
Seven.
Never saw your parents, no.
You were on your own in this hospital?
Yes. You went to theatre and had operations on your own. It was nobody. You must remember, I'm talking about war years. 1940s. There was no money. To travel from Limerick to Dublin was the same as if you said, I'm going to Japan in the morning. It was out of the question.
Oh my goodness. And her story reflects the experience of so many people who contracted polio, and the isolation for children like her. It's just shocking even to hear it now all these years later. And how does Anne feel about the way polio survivors, Evelyn, are treated?
She said the post-polio survivors, like herself, they need more help and support. For example, polio, Claire, isn't necessarily a qualifying condition for getting the medical card, and obviously medical needs are greater as they're ageing, so they'd love support on that. And even heating the home, that, you know, body regulation can be a problem as well. They'd love more help with that. But she's so grateful to have the support group. And here she told me a little bit more about the post-polio group and how that group of survivors operates.
I was in John Leary and I was just walking past Shaw's and I was looking in the window and I looked and I said, what's wrong with that woman? I didn't realise that I walked with such a bad limp. It had got very bad over the years and that knocked me for six. Things were deteriorating a lot. I was tired at all these things. Anyway, I eventually was diagnosed with post-polio syndrome, which is the late effects of polio, is what it's called. The muscles are getting weaker. And that meant then I had to do a lot of rethinking. My whole focus was to keep myself as well as I could. This was with me. You can lie down under it or you can say, I have to get up and go. So I do everything I possibly can, but I have a bit of common sense and I know things that I can't do now. For example, wearing the shoes. I can't wear the high heels.
Does everybody who had polio get post-polio?
No, only a certain percentage, maybe 60%.
I didn't know about post-polio.
Didn't until it happened to me, sure.
Really? So yeah. No doctor had warned you and said,
no.
Look, watch
no,
out for
it. No. But I look at it this way. I have a post-polio support group. At least I can go to someone and say, can you give me something that will help me to walk better? One stage I walked with nothing. Then I walked with one stick. I know that I will eventually have to have a wheelchair. So I'm taking it step by step. I'm at the stage now of the two poles and I manage with them.
And the legacy of it, what do you want now to support you now?
The polio survivors are older now, so we have two things to cope with. First of all, the disability. Those of us have the post-polio syndrome, our needs are getting more as we get older because we're all of an age. And because we are, let's say, the last of these terrible epidemics, people say, oh, sure, polio, it's gone. It's not gone. We're still here. But I really think we deserve to be minded. Just because we're a smaller group, we don't need to be forgotten.
That's Anne Shanahan. Impressive Anne Shanahan, inspirational. So you got in the car then, you went to Blanchardstown in Dublin to talk to more survivors. Introduce us to Eddie.
Yes, I'm laughing about Anne. She couldn't fit me in between the aquafit, the grandchildren and the bridge, Claire. So I was very lucky that
Anne... But as she said herself, she had a choice. She either did nothing and, you know, cowered in her home or went out and lived, and that's what she's doing.
Sorry, the sea swimming, the whole bit, Anne's all go. Anyway, yes, I left Anne and carried on to Eddie Roycroft, another lovely man who was just 3 and a half when he contracted polio. Also sent into isolated care. He also had wonderful family life, but here I got to talk to Eddie, who's really restricted in his movement now. He invited me into his home, Claire, just to share more about his story of polio.
Oh, hello, Evelyn.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
I'm
yourself?
I'm not too bad.
And you're walking there on your stick?
I am. Use my stick most times.
Okay.
Grab a seat.
Well, I'll sit in your seat now. I can see you've got a very comfortable seat lined up there.
That's me throne.
Thank you so much for welcoming us into your home today. I am really grateful. And I suppose the reason we want to talk to you is about these stories that are in the book, people surviving from polio. Is that why you wanted to get involved?
It is. Most people have put it out of their minds. It's a thing that happens years back. And it's funny, I can go to a hospital where they've never heard polio or post-polio. I got it when I was 3 and a half. I was in the hospital in Cherry Orchard for 18 months. They put me on physio. Then when I was about 9 or 10, the doctors just said to me, ma'am, nothing else we can do. Just let him get on with life. And I had a bit of a limp and that was about it.
I want you to bring me back to when you were 3 and a half. What I presume you don't remember a lot, but what you've been told happened.
When I was 3 and a half, I lived in Finglas. And my mum thought that I had a cold or the flu. And then she started to get worried. She brought me to a doctor and the doctor got me shifted over to Cherry Orchard.
So he was suspicious?
He was suspicious because at that time there was an outbreak of polio. You had pains in your legs and all.
She heard Cherry Orchard and your mum knew what that meant.
Yeah. You were kept separate from everybody. When my mother or my father came over to visit, they had to stay either outside where those lads to look in at me, or there was a rope put up that they couldn't cross the rope.
And you were 3 and a half. You were left on your own for treatment.
Yeah. I had 4 sisters who I never seen for the year and a half. And I think that's why we have a close-knit family, for their children and their grandchildren.
Gosh. Eddie wanted to talk as well about this because he and others believe that post-polio, the later effect of polio that we heard there from Anne earlier on their lives, that that just needs to be highlighted now.
Yeah, they say people know so little about post-polio, they indeed didn't know themselves about it, and they want people to think about it because, you know, people think it's been eradicated, and thankfully for new generations with the help of vaccines, that is the fact. But these guys have published a book, and it's called Polio in Us, Clare, and it's personal stories of polio survivors in Ireland. And, you know, these stories and others are in it. It's a great read. And you can buy it online from their website, polio.ie. But here Eddie talks about post-polio and the survivors' resilience and their attitude to life. And really, again, with Eddie, it's remarkable stuff.
So I got on with life and I was walking away, all different jobs, not a bother. Then when I was about 50, I got aches in my side. I needed to get it checked out. All the hardiman. She examined me, she took me literally inside out. Then one day she said, there's nothing wrong with your kidneys. And she just asked about any other illness in my life. And I just said, polio when I was 3 and a half. Oh, she said, that could be a problem. So she said, you have post polio. Until then, I didn't know.
Have you ever had any kind of compensation, allowances?
Oh,
any?
No. To be honest, the state will give us nothing. Nothing for polio people. It's not a qualifying illness in the sense that they don't recognise it. And as I've often said, we're a dying breed. We're dying off. It's very hard. Now, I find it hard to walk now, gradually getting worse. But I don't moan to people that I have this and this is what I do. I just get on with life.
So what you're saying to me is that all these years later, polio had a second go at you. This is the post-polio bit.
Yes, when she told me about the post-polio.
I never heard of it. Can I ask you then about COVID, right? Because the rest of the world got a little taste of what you went through at the age of 3 and a half.
And it was hard for everyone, not being able to do things, cut off from our grandchildren and our children. That was hard. And I kind of understand how my mother felt. But, you know, it's hard to express the polio after effects of polio. But the post-polio group is very important because we have about 18 people. We're able then to talk about what we have, you know, what we're suffering from. And every one of us, it's getting worse. But I think that's the best thing about post-polio, the group. I have yet to meet a happier group of people because we've learned through our lives, just get on with it.
That's Eddie. And our thanks to Eddie and to Anne and to Evelyn for putting that together. The book is called Polio and Us, Personal Stories of Polio Survivors in Ireland. And Evelyn, it's available from the website, isn't it? Polio.ie.
That's right. And they really welcome people to just come and have a look at the website and even maybe get more members, people who haven't heard of them. Please join in.
Okay. Sounds like a great book and great stories there. Thanks again to Anne and Eddie. Now, coming up, cheaper TV subscriptions might be on the way, but you'll have to watch the ads. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.